It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer.
All right. Hello again, Irish fans. Welcome back to Dome and Domer, the oldest ND sports podcast on the planet. If you came looking for expert analysis on Notre Dame football, this may not be the podcast for you. But if you want to hear what some passionate Irish fans think about this season, stick around for the next 20 minutes. If you enjoy these conversations, be sure to like and subscribe to Dome and Domer wherever you get your podcast. I'm your host, Mike Sullivan. I'm a 1990 grad, and joining me today is my Dylan Hall roommate and 1990 classmate, Mike Brammer, and from the class of 91 and ND Nation, Mike Coffey. If you want to learn more about Dome and Domer and who we are, you could visit our website at domeanddomer.com. Okay, huge week as we prepare for the first ever matchup with Arkansas. And I thought maybe we'd just kind of look at some stats and trends through the first three games as, you know, you begin to get a sense of who this team is and maybe what direction we're pointed in. So I just looked at NCAA stats through three games and looked at where do we rank when we're in the top quartile of college football or the bottom, and what trends are we seeing? I think we all intuitively can guess at a few of these things. But when you look offensively, hey, we're developing into a big play and an efficient passing offense. So we're 15th in the country in yards per catch, 26th in pass efficiency, and 29th in completion percentage, which is an interesting combination, right? So we've had the ability to go vertical, make big plays, and yet we're still seeing pretty good performance overall in completion percentage and efficiency. Third down offense is an emerging strength here for the Irish through three games. We're 24th in the country on third down. And scoring offense, 26th. So we're feeling confident that this is an offense that can put points on the board. Now, defensively, an emerging strength, we hope. Third down defense is 24th in the country. And again, top quartile. And rushing defense is just outside that. Rushing defense stands 41st in the country. But obviously, I think we all know some glaring weaknesses. And these are the areas where we rank in the bottom 25% of college football, which obviously is just abysmal. And that total defense stat comes in at 100th in the country. Pass efficiency defense. Last year, we were number one. We're 103rd this year. And scoring defense, 117. That's out of 134 teams in college football. So obviously, these are glaring weaknesses. And no surprise, Coach Freeman's Monday morning press conference, he was asked extensively about the defense. And so let's talk about that press conference, his comments, and not surprisingly, he focused on better fundamentals, better technique. And these are the keys, as Coach Freeman sees it, to improve performance in our pass rush, zone coverage, and in man coverage. So Mike and Mike, I'll give you guys an opportunity to weigh in on Coach Freeman's assessment here that what we're talking about is fundamentals and technique.
Yeah, you know, I think that, the reality of the matter is we're not as good of a defensive team as we were last year. I mean, that's obvious. The big, huge question is, can we get some improvement out of this team to at least close that gap? I mean, from number one to 100, I didn't realize that until you said it. That's a big difference. But I think part of it, and Freeman alluded to this in the press conference, is it's about figuring out which guys can play where that can do the kinds of things that they're asking. And that's by the coaches assessing the players and their ability to execute on both technique and performance. So, you know, some of this is just figuring out your defense, right? You don't know exactly what you got until you start to look at game film and you realize some guys could be better off in other positions. And we've got the kind of talent of guys that can play multiple positions, Dallas Golden being one of them. He's just a big-time athlete that can play multiple positions. And part of that is just figuring out where is this defense at its highest capacity to operate as the most efficient unit defensively. And the coaches got to figure this out. They're going to have to put whatever guys are in there in whatever positions to get maximum efficiency out of this defense. So it's going to be a work in progress, but it's going to have to get buttoned up real quick, because we're going to find out Saturday at Arkansas.
No, absolutely. It really seemed to me, watching the game before the rain delay and after the rain delay, it seemed like there was a new, like, I don't know if attitude is the right word, but there seemed to be a different focus. There was a lot more focus on putting pressure on the quarterback. They weren't just rushing four every time. That we saw a five-man rush. We saw a six-man rush that actually generated pressure, generated negative plays. I think that's a lot of what we saw last year, a little bit more aggression in the front seven. And we know we have the players who can do it. I think a lot of those players showed last year, and certainly this past recruiting class brought in some very highly touted guys who I think are capable of doing the job there. Brant, from what you said, get the right guys in the right position. I mean, it's a little disappointing that we're going into, was it game four, and we're still looking at who can play where, when. And I mean, obviously, when you start a number of underclassmen in the backfield like we did this past game, I mean, maybe you are going to see a few more issues, but I'm really hoping that what we saw in the second half, more aggression, more push, is going to carry forward into Arkansas, because that offense is going to be a heck of a lot harder to stop than Purdue's was.
So, yeah, Freeman was asked about the improved performance throughout the game. And, you know, did you make any in-game adjustments? What were the changes? And he's like, well, we executed better, right? So sometimes the first adjustment is, let's adjust our chin strap and let's play with a different sense of urgency. Listening to the press conference, the media wants to continually reduce it down to, well, it's play calling. It's X's and O's. Freeman continues to stay on message with, it's not about the calls. It's about how we are executing the technique we're playing. Now, make no mistake, where I sit, that is coaching, right? If you want to say, hey, this is a problem of coaching, sure. But it's not what I think people assume it is, which is, oh, we should have called X instead of Y. And if we just called X more, no, that's not what it is. It's about getting guys to play better within the technique. And, hey, do we have to be playing with a different technique? Do we need to maybe be emphasizing for this individual athlete, you need to play with a slightly different technique or focus or whatever in order to execute the scheme? But, you know, I think Freeman, I'm frustrated listening to the questions. You wonder how he manages to keep his cool. He flashed that intensity in the press conference, though, when he was talking about, hey, we're in, you know, some guy, adversity reveals character, right? And is it fight or flight? And some guys' impulse is to take flight, and he characterized that by saying, you're blaming other people. But if you're going to fight, you start by saying, what can I do better? And that is coaching. And so you want to say, well, the defensive staff needs to change and improve. Of course they do, right? But I'm just not sure that it's, well, let's dial up more blitzes is the answer.
Well, two things that I know for sure. Number one, having spent a number of years going to Mike Bray's press conferences covering the team, the one conclusion I've always reached is you're never going to get the answers you want out of there, because coaches are always walking a thin line. And I don't know what the alternative to what Freeman is saying is. I mean, as you said, if someone asks, well, that X's and O's play was a really dumb decision, right? I mean, if he thinks it's a dumb decision, he's not going to say, oh, wow, that was really stupid. Yeah, we shouldn't have done that. But what I also believe is Marcus Freeman is a disciple of the church of praise in public, criticize in private, which I have always felt the best coaches are. I mean, God knows his predecessor was fine with going out and throwing players under the bus in situations. He's not like that, but he's not going to do that with his coaches either. I mean, he's going to acknowledge the fact that yes, there are problems. Yes, there are changes that are going to be made. But I guarantee you, whatever changes are being made are not going to be directly discussed in a press conference where they can make those changes can make their way out to like future opponents and things like that. So I think whatever Marcus Freeman is feeling, he's still keeping close to the vest. But I did like the occasional like that would pop, because that tells you that no matter what he's saying, the whole thing is bothering him and he's going to fix it.
Well, yeah, it should bother everybody, right? The performance isn't up to standard. It should bother everybody. But, you know, I agree with a lot of what you said. But within that also feels like, well, we've already decided. We know that it's we, the collective media. That's not us, of course. We're just fans. But the media really knows what it is. And it's really this schematic X's and O's. And Freeman will never say it. So they're proven right no matter what. Like, I mean, maybe what he said is actually what it is. I think most of coaching is technique and discipline and accountability and those things, very not Saturday play calling.
Yeah. The other thing that he touched on that I thought was kind of interesting is he talked about how they kept it simple on offense, starting out just running the football, and how that allowed the guys to get into that velocity that he's been talking about, trying to get them to play fast. Well, when things are simplified, you don't have to think as much and you can just go after it. And so some of that kind of hinted towards, he was kind of pleased with that approach. Obviously we were committed to running the football early and we're pretty much straight blocking ahead, which gives you that ability to just get after it. So I like that. I think on defense, we're just not quite there yet. You know, the guys that are stepping up, and I know Coffey, you alluded to this in a couple shows ago, but having that split second of indecision, even if it is a half a second, that can be a lot. That can be a lot in terms of you getting off the block and playing with some velocity. And so I think there's going to be improvement there. I think we're going to see it. I think we're already seeing it, but there is a big gap there, and that gap's got to get closed. And they're going to have to play better defensively next Saturday. They can't play like they did against Purdue, or we could lose that football game. So we're going to need to see some continued improvement with that, but I expect we'll see it. I think the thing I like about listening to Freeman is he seems like he's dialed in. He's not at all sitting there trying to figure it out in the press conference. He knows exactly what he wants to say. He knows where he's coming from. And to me, that exudes confidence. So I think we'll get this figured out.
Yeah, I would agree. He instills confidence. I think this is one of the reasons that guys want to play for him. And that doesn't mean you're, you know, a player's coach, you're soft on them. I don't think he is. There's no indication to think that Marcus Freeman isn't a very demanding coach. But I think, you know, there's a way to do it that also builds people up and makes them believe. And I think he very much is a culture first kind of approach, which outstanding. Hey, we've seen head coaches at Notre Dame that maybe leaned into a decided schematic advantage, right? And people have been around the program long enough to know who that is, right? And you could argue that there was no culture and it was all about X's and O's. And I think Freeman knows that culture is what drives this. Let's turn to personnel a little bit. You know, Leonard Moore, obviously, we're going to look at Arkansas and the matchup more on Thursday's show, but we know that Arkansas is a prolific offensive team, and we're all going to feel much more comfortable if Leonard Moore is in the back end of the defense. Still listed as questionable.
Yeah, that's a problem. I think it's going to be a real problem if he doesn't play, because it's tough enough just to keep that quarterback contained. I mean, his run option ability is really good. I got a chance to watch them a little bit, and he's very difficult. He keeps it in there for a long time and then pulls it. And that's just going to put a lot of pressure on us. And we have got to be locked in on these guys on any kind of man-to-man coverage, just to make sure that they don't go vertical on us. But it's going to be a big, big challenge if Leonard Moore doesn't play this Saturday, that's for sure.
I couldn't agree more. I think the starting a bunch of underclassmen when you're playing at home versus Purdue, you can probably overcome that. That's a much tougher road to hoe when you're down in Fayetteville. So I'm hoping that Moore's, and those kind of like leg or ankle injuries, those things can just linger for ages and ages. And I have no doubt that the coaching staff and the strength and conditioning people are taking a good, strong look at it. And hopefully they get him back up and going, because they're going to need him. And not only going to need him this weekend, they're going to need him in the successive weekends. So it's not a good idea to rush him back just so you have him for Arkansas. If that means he's going to be dinged up the whole rest of the year and you end up losing games down the road.
On the other hand, this may feel like it's a
must win,
play-in game.
He's in street clothes, right?
I mean, so on the other hand, right now, obviously, like his health is the most important thing. If he can go in any way, I'm sure he will, right? But I haven't heard updates on Noah Burnett, the kicker. We obviously tough road game. You're going to want your best, no pun intended, best foot forward when it comes to place kicking. And although, you know, Dallas Golden back in the secondary showed real promise.
Yeah, he's a player. Absolutely.
Right, and they feel his ceiling is super high, right? Mark Zachary flashed some moments as well, but no replacing an All-American. Adon Shuler will be good to have for four quarters at safety.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, look, I mean, this is next man up, right? I mean, Freeman's a big proponent of this. We've got talent on this football team. We're deep. But a guy like Leonard Moore, that's just not easily replaceable. I mean, he's a big-time player and a big-time lockdown corner. And that's just, you know, to not have that weapon in hand is a big, the defense as it is, we need everything we can get in terms of, you know, being able to hang with Arkansas, and just not having him would be a that'd be a big hurdle to overcome, but doable.
Jared Dawson up front, he's talking about needing everybody. Jared Dawson, transfer defensive lineman, did not play against Purdue, should be ready to go again this week. Freeman indicated he'll play. And again, I think I have no idea what the weather forecast is down in Arkansas, but you know, to the extent weather is an issue, you're going to want all those bodies. You're going to want to stay fresh. And Arkansas's big offensive line is going to lean on you a little bit. And the more fresh bodies we can run in there in the defensive line, the better. So looking for Jared Dawson to get back in the lineup and contribute. Freeman expressed his confidence in the offensive line. He said, I've never been as confident in the offensive line as I am with these five guys. And although certainly you saw Anthony Knapp give up that sack, which turned into the fumble, remains very high with the play of the offensive line. And after a couple games under the belt playing as a unit, you do expect them to continue to perform at the level we need. You go on the road. Holtz always used to say this: you got to run the ball on offense and stop the run on defense. And so I feel confident in our ability on one side of those things. Our rush defense actually hasn't been that bad, as I said at the beginning. 41st in the country, you know, not elite, but not a dumpster fire like the back end of the defense has been. So we'll leave it there for now. Obviously, got to get better on defense, and the key is execution and technique, according to Marcus Freeman. He's going to continue to let Chris Ash call the defense. He was asked about that. And he said, hey, this is not about defensive calls. It's about getting better in our fundamentals and our technique at practice. So let's look for that continued improvement this week. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll talk about some more media coverage, and we'll make our predictions for the game, and we'll take a closer look at the Arkansas Razorbacks on Thursday's show. Until then, for Mike Coffey and Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time on Dome and Domer.